Every year, tens of thousands of Americans die by suicide, most of them with a gun, and some of the hardest hit areas spend the least on prevention. For the Guns in America series In Their Own Hands, Heath Druzan traveled to rural Idaho and met with some of the small town residents stepping in to help.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Hank Thornton is walking me through the center of Amida, Idaho. Population 684.
They've got great breakfast here, but no, it's not just to get breakfast.
He's making the rounds at the tiny town's diner and other gathering places to get information and potentially save lives. This is timber country, as evidenced by the fully loaded logging trucks rumbling through town. After leaving Drifters, Thornton walks into Roxboro, Inc. It's a consignment store run by his chief intel source in the area, Annette Kay.
Hello, Sunshine.
Hi, baby. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Kay knows just about everyone in town. She especially looks out for the group that also concerns Thornton, veterans.
I was in love with a Vietnam veteran. Came home one day and found him under the bed. And we went through a year of PTSD, partial inpatient, partial outpatient. And I learned a lot about Vietnam that America doesn't want to know.
Kay lets Thornton know if someone needs a knock on the door, a kind word, and information about mental health resources.
If they're struggling with PTSD or whatever, she's the ears and eyes of the community here, and she does a great job.
You see, amid the idyllic forested slopes, soaring peaks, and grazing cattle, a crisis is quietly rippling through Mountain West communities like Amida. Suicide. The region has some of the highest suicide rates in the country, but historically, little state support for suicide prevention and mental health care. For example, Wyoming has the highest suicide rate in the nation, yet it wasn't until August that it stood up its first suicide prevention hotline, the last state in the nation to do so. And here in Idaho, people complete suicide at the fifth highest rate in the country. Yet the government spends less per capita on mental health care than all but one other state. That doesn't sit well with Thornton.
How can we rank so high in attempted suicides and fund it so little?
But he and other community members aren't waiting around for the answer. They've taken it upon themselves to step in where the state has failed. For Thornton, that means meeting face-to-face to see what at-risk people need. And, just as importantly, to show them someone cares.
It's okay, you don't have to open the door.
Thornton is checking on a fellow Vietnam veteran. The veteran's away, but Thornton gets an update from his wife.
If you guys need anything, you got my card. Give me a call.
Thank you for your service twice.
Oh.
Thornton is himself a Vietnam veteran, a gun owner, and a member of the local American Legion post. He's 70 years old and retired from a career managing Home Depot stores. He connects to the group most at risk for suicide and often most resistant to help, older men.
They're tough and they're strong and they, you know, take care of things behind closed doors. They don't talk about their issues publicly, and they're very independent people in these communities.
That's Christy Scott, who runs the Suicide Prevention Action Network of Benoit County. The group offers support for suicide survivors and organizes educational events like the county's first ever suicide awareness and prevention walk this year. Scott's lived in the small logging town of St. Mary's for 25 years, including 16 years as a hairdresser here.
Trust me, I know more than most people would care to know.
She and a friend built the group from nothing last year because they felt they had no choice. They received no state funding, instead surviving on a small grant and donations. Scott said she watched family after family hit by suicide with no local resources to help them.
They're just left picking up the pieces and not knowing where to turn.
Her alarm is justified. Already high suicide rates have been steadily going up in the region over the past decade. And it's not just affecting older people. A recent analysis by gun control advocacy group Every Town for Gun Safety shows youth firearm rates are at an all-time high.
It's just been one of those things where I feel like we've kind of just swept it under the rug and quietly hoped that it would just go away and take care of itself over the years.
The factors affecting suicide rates are complex, but there is one thing that is simultaneously impossible to ignore but difficult to talk about. Firearms. And that's one thing all Mountain West states have in common. Higher than average rates of gun ownership. Studies see a correlation between that and suicide. Gun safety is a tough discussion anywhere. Scott says that's especially true in places like this, where firearms are so intricately woven into the culture.
These people raise their children to understand the safety of a firearm and the danger of it as well. But again, you don't know what you don't know. And a lot of times, family members will have someone right under their roof and not know that they're struggling with suicide.
But that tough conversation is much more effective when it comes from neighbors like Scott and Thornton, said Shannon Decker, executive director of the Idaho-based suicide prevention group, the Speedy Foundation.
They need to be somebody who banks in that community. They shop at the grocery store in that community. They are a vital member. They're respected because people need to be able to trust where this information is coming from.
Given Idaho's historic lack of funding for suicide prevention, there's been no choice for a lot of people, Decker said. It took until 2016 for Idaho state government to revamp its prevention efforts and back it up with public funding.
And even then, it was not a well thought out, it was not a well designed, it was not a community approach, it was not an evidence-based approach. It was a scramble.
The Idaho Department of Health and Welfare declined a request for a recorded interview. Instead, Idaho Division of Public Health Administrator Elke Shaw-Tulloch sent a written statement. In it, she acknowledged a lack of prevention funding before 2016, but said the state had made strides since then. She pointed to a 5-year suicide reduction plan launched in 2018 and state support for a suicide prevention hotline. Back on the road with Thornton, he says it was a personal experience with suicide that shaped his thinking. A close friend called him to say goodbye, that he wasn't going to make it. Thornton raced over to his house and found him under his bed with a loaded gun. He convinced his friend to give him his gun and get help. But he's seen too many others who had no one to turn to.
We lost one here in March. We didn't know him. We did his funeral. We did the honor guard for his funeral. Had someone called us. Someone just let us know that he was struggling. Maybe we could have made a difference.
And in small towns across the West, people like Thornton are racing to make that difference. For Guns and America, I'm Heath Drusen.